plenty of room to be together or alone. Just give me, Kathy, a call at 980-2525 for a special tour. That's Kathy at New City Realty at 980-2525.
Do you long for the yesterday of classic radio? Old-time radio right here on WCRS 8 to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. Hear great radio shows like Jack Benny, The Shadow, Fibber McGee, and more. Only on WCRS Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. on WCRS 1450 AM and streaming at WCRS1450AM.net.
Do you want to get your business noticed? What better way than with football? WCRS carries Emerald High and Clemson. Choose one package or a combo deal on both. Football. Everybody loves football and wants to keep informed. We deliver at WCRS 1450 AM. Call us for more info at 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Go Clemson. Go Emerald. Go football.
Are you at the stage of life when you'd rather have the cash than the fine jewelry and sterling you've collected over your lifetime? Then come to Sharp Facets Gallery, where discretion, privacy, and friendly faces with knowledgeable, informed buyers will analyze and give you top dollar for your precious possessions accumulated over a lifetime. Call us at Sharp Facets 229-6276 for an appointment or just stop by 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6.
And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right, and right on cue. I told you we were going to have Sandra Brown right here on the radio with us. She has another number one New York Times bestseller, Mean Streak. How you doing today, Sandra Brown?
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm great. I tell you what, to read over your background and everything, wow, what a career you had. And I am always curious as to how somebody got started. I read in your biography that you lost your job at a television program and you just went home and started writing books.
It wasn't quite that simple, but that's the essence of it. I was working for the local ABC affiliate, and doing a show called PM Magazine, and I was one of the contributing on-air people, and it sometimes happens in broadcasting, not in Greenville, I'm sure, but they came through and fired everybody one day, so I had toddlers at home, two babies, and I was looking around thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? And my husband really challenged me. He said, you've always said you wanted to write fiction, and now you have the time to do it. So stop talking about it and start doing it. And that's when I wrote my first book. So it was a blessing in disguise to get dismissed from my job.
Absolutely. But when you were growing up, did you ever, did you like to write? Or, you know, was there any signs maybe that you would, that this would be something you would do someday?
Well, there were a few signs, yes. My father was a writer, but he was an editorial writer for the newspaper. He never wrote fiction. And then my mother was such an avid reader, and she just loved books. And she cultivated that habit in me when I was very, very young. And she would read aloud to my sisters and me even, you know, before we could read. And so I think it was her love of books and storytelling and my daddy's talent for putting words on paper that made sense, and I inherited a little of both of that from them.
I just
basically, I'm a reader. I think that every writer starts out as just a person who loves to read.
Now, I got to ask you, when your mom was reading books to you, did she happen to read you sexy romance thrillers?
No, those are the ones that I sneaked under the covers at night by myself.
I just, you know, you were putting that thought in my brain. I was wondering, I wonder what her mom read to those girls.
she read fairy tales, you know, like the Grimm's Brothers and She would write, read to us adventure stories and,
I understand. I just thought, wouldn't that be a hoot if she was reading too? My mother used to like to take us to see James, the 007 series. And everybody accused my brother of being influenced by 007, James Bond. But anyways, to talk about some of the things that you have just done a fantastic job of cultivating that market, the thriller, the little sexual innuendo and everything. How do you come up with the ideas for these books? Do they pattern your life at all?
Oh, gosh, no. I'm not nearly as brave or as clever as anyone that I write about. I lead a very ordinary life. But I sometimes I pick up on, you know, something in the news, a newspaper article or something I see on TV or hear on the radio, and I'll think, oh, that's interesting. Or it could be, you know, some kind of social issue or even a career that I'm very interested in. Sometimes a character just walks into my subconscious and says, write about me, I'm interesting. In the case of Mean Streak, I saw an entire scene, and I can't tell you where it came from. It just popped into my head, but it was this woman, a marathoner, training on a mountain trail, and some event occurs. I didn't even know what it was at the time. And she wakes up having suffered from a concussion, and she's alone with this man in a remote mountain cabin. And I thought, now that's interesting. You know, wonder what's going to happen next. And he's very reluctant to give her any information about himself or the nature of her injury, how she sustained it. And I thought, I can't wait to see what happens. And I figured if I felt that way, then the reader was going to feel that way. So I just kind of took that idea and continued developing it, and that's how Mean Streak came about.
Now, how long does it take you to write a novel?
Well, I owe my publisher a new book each year. I'm under contract, usually we do a contract for 3 or 4 books at a time, and that's one a year. And that's a good pace for me because I could write more, but I would have less time to live my life. And I have, and I love writing. I have the best job in the world, and I don't take it for granted. I love it. But I also have 2 children and 4 grandsons and a husband and good friends, and we like to travel and go places and do things. And so it's a pretty good pace for me to do one a year. I don't write every single day, but most days. And then I will do that for several months, and then I'll take off, you know, for a week. And then I'll come back to it, and I'll write some more intensely. And then I'll take off and relax a little bit. So it's a good pace to do one a year.
No, that sounds good. Now, when you're writing a book, you know, you have to be under, I would say, some personal pressure, if not some pressure from everybody. This 64 number one New York Times bestsellers, you have to be under a little pressure to produce. Does that enter your mind when you're trying to write a book?
Every single day.
Yeah.
Every single hour.
Yeah.
Not all of those 64 have been number one. I wish they had been. A few of them have been number one. But, because no one ever lowers the bar.
Correct.
The bar is constantly raised, isn't it? That it's just that way with life. The more successful you are at something, no one comes along behind you and says, okay, you can relax, not try so hard this time. You're expected to achieve at least that high, if not better. And so it's a constant reminder to me that, okay, you're only as good as the book you're writing right now. You can't rest on past laurels. You've got to, you know, you've got to produce another story that people want to read and that a lot of people want to read. And the marketplace changes, and there are always, you know, new books and new trends that come along. And so it's a career, it's a job that has to be constantly worked at. But yeah, every day I come to the computer and I face this wall of fear. I would think it would be pretty intimidating.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, now what it exactly? You gave us a little bit of a tease about what Mean Streak, but this is doesn't it involve her husband that they had a fight and then she disappears? Can you give us a little bit more of the storyline?
Yeah, he after this incident, while she's sort of trapped by circumstances, weather, in the mountains with this stranger. Her husband is down in below, and of course, when he reports her missing, he becomes the first suspect of something foul play, and so he's grappling with that. Thematically, the book is really about bullying. I think this was really in the news when I started plotting it, and I thought, you know, what's this hero about? He's mysterious. He doesn't tell any information about himself, even his name. And I withheld that from the reader for like three quarters of the book because I thought it would make him more interesting, more intriguing. And the whole at the theme is bullying. And we know about the very overt nature that can take. You know, somebody can be physically bullied or psychologically bullied, and then the repercussions of it are often tragic. But there are more subtle forms of bullying too, and I thought, you know, if you examine just a few instances of, you know, you wake up one morning and go, why am I putting up with that? You know, why am I subjecting myself to that? If I allow that person to do that to me, it's my fault. And I think that's a point in which Emery is in her life. And that's kind of the theme, but at heart, it's Mean Streak is an adventure story. I place my heroine, Emery Charbonneau, in what I would consider to be very unusual, bizarre circumstance, and she has to outsmart everybody to get herself out of it. And so it's a story about survival, revenge, jealousy, and of course it's a love story also.
Well, it's a fascinating read. I must admit, I haven't read all of it, but I have started reading it. It's a great read. Everybody should go out and get Sandra Brown's Mean Streak. I mean, the title is very intriguing. One last question, Sandra. I found it very interesting in reading over your bio and some of the comments. They say that you can write a book that interests women. Well, I kind of got that. But that also a lot of men like to read this book. That has to be a challenge to do something that both men and women want to read.
Oh, absolutely. I think a reader is a reader is a reader. And I read across the board. You know, I love to read, and I read every genre. And I really pity the reader who would, you know, have automatic prejudices against reading a book, you know, written by a man or reading a book written by a woman. I think I've been able to cross that gender barrier, and I'm really happy about that, yes, because it is such an adventure, and because one of the lead characters, you know, is this mysterious stranger, and you're trying to find out, you know, what's his story. So I think men, and he's a very physical character, and I think men would find this a really good, juicy read, too.
That's what I'm saying, Sandra. I think that's pretty amazing that you can interest both sides of the aisle here.
Thank you, Anne.
Well, Sandra Brown, it has been an absolute delight to talk to you. We'll look forward to reading Mean Streak by Sandra Brown, number one New York Times bestselling. And we'll look forward to your next book, I guess, next year, huh?
Thank you. Yes, I'll see you this time next year.
All right, sounds good. You have a good one. Thanks so much for calling us, Sandra.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's right. We are right here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Right now, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.